I am Planta Online. This is thecommentary.ca. It wouldn't be an election in British Columbia if we didn't check in with Rafe Mayer. The legendary broadcaster and former social credit cabinet minister joins me now to discuss the election and referendum campaign thus far. He is the public face of the Save Our Rivers organization and yesterday spent the day campaigning with NDP leader Carol James. He is a regular columnist at the Taiz website and is a regular panelist on CBC's Early Edition. His website is rafeonline.com. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, Rafe Mayer. Good morning, Mr. Mayer.
Good morning, Joe.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
You campaigned with Carol James yesterday, did you?
Well, I don't think it was really campaigning. We took a fixed-wing aircraft with a great many members of the media. I think there were about nine all told. And we went over the Harrison Lake area, went over the Pitt River area, and also I took a look at the Ashloo. So I think really what I was doing is it was sort of traveling with her. Now, I was a guest on her first internet radio show yesterday, a radio on television show yesterday on the internet, but I don't think I was actually campaigning with her.
So the Pitt River situation, last year you spoke out against that, and then it died, or the project was killed. Now, what's the latest on that?
Well, what happened last year, Joe, is not quite what it appeared to be. It wasn't shut down for environmental reasons, but because their transmission lines were going to go through a park. And now they're still going strong, but they're trying to get permission to tunnel under the park to get their transmission lines out. So it's not dead by any means. So far, the minister has said they're not going to go underground in the park, but after May the 12th, if Mr. Campbell is elected, I'm sure that will be revisited.
Hey, what do you make of Carol James? I mean, you spent the day with her yesterday. You've seen a number of premiers, political cabinet ministers and the sort over the years. Did you think she's prepared if she wins on the 12th?
I think so, Joe. It's always tough to tell when a person hasn't really been tested under fire. You know, of all people, Warren Harding once said that the White House is an alchemist that changes the weak to the strong and the strong to the weak. So until the people are actually under the gun, it's hard to tell. But I think she's come a long way. She's much stronger now than she was in the past, and I think even a little more assertive. But only time will tell.
And she's well-versed in issues that you're concerned about, like the environment? Like she knows the file?
Yes, I think she does. You know, it's too much to ask that she would know as much as those of us who are doing it every day know, but I think she's come a long way in her understanding of what's going on. For example, she was talking some time ago about having a fire sale of our rivers. Well, that's not true. They're not being sold. Would that they were. At least we might get some money. But I think she's getting a grasp on that issue and certainly has a much better grasp now than she had a few weeks ago.
What do you make of the media coverage of the campaign thus far?
Well, insofar as the Render Rivers thing is concerned, it's been pathetic, and it's been pathetic all along. The mainstream media just doesn't want to touch that. They're very fond of Mr. Campbell, I would gather. And I think that's a shame because the Rivers case is a very confusing one if it's not explained very carefully. For example, the government gives out that we need the energy, therefore we must go to the Runner Rivers to get that energy. Well, that just doesn't happen to be an equation. A, we don't need energy, but even if we did, we'd hardly get it from Run of the Rivers because they can only produce electricity during the runoff this spring and into the summer. Many people don't understand you can't store electricity after you use it unless you've got a reservoir you can put it behind, and these don't have reservoirs. So that means that this energy that's being produced by the Runner Rivers projects is, for the most part, not going to British Columbia, but going for export.
And it's your contention and the work that you've done with Save Our Rivers that the Campbell government is doing this for whom?
Well, I don't know what it is, Joe. I've looked long and hard at this. The only thing I can come up with is it's ideologically driven. There certainly is nothing in it for British Columbia at all. Matter of fact, there's everything against it. BC Hydro now has $30 billion, that's with a B, dollars, in contracts with these independent power producers, which it must pay out over the next 20 or 30 years. And that's just the tip of the iceberg because that's only just the ones that are going. Now, they have to pay almost, or perhaps even more than double what they can sell it for. A number of the contracts now call for $120 per kilowatt hour, megawatt hour, per megawatt. There's too many initials in this thing. They have to pay $120 per megawatt, and they can only sell it for something like 50 or 60. So it's a buy high, sell low situation. And that puts Hydro, I think, in desperate straits.
And you think that if we continue with this, BC Hydro won't exist?
Oh, I don't think there's any question about it. It'll die. I mean, you only have to run a household and all that. They have to pay out these immense contracts. They no longer have their transmission lines. They've been put into another Crown corporation. They still have to carry their capital debt of $7 billion, which they can do as long as they're okay. They can't bring on any new power schemes. Now, they can do Site C. They've got that sort of thing is grandfathered and fixing up their own facilities. They could do that. But they can't bring on any new sources of energy. That all must be done by private sources. So it's impossible to see how BC Hydro can exist under those circumstances. There's one other thing I think that people should know, Joe, that up until this year, BC Hydro has paid very, very substantial dividends to the province of British Columbia for schools, hospitals, and so on. It's around $500 million to $1 billion, depending upon the year and the circumstances. That will all be gone. They can't possibly pay that money because they simply aren't going to have it after they pay out the private producers and so on. So my opinion is, frankly, that BC Hydro is slated for the same fate as BC Rail was.
Now, for the regular consumer, for the person that has electricity in their home, what does that all mean?
Well, I think you have to start and grasp this one thing. It's a little repetitive, Joe, but I think it's important that people think about this. First of all, the power that these independent producers can produce simply cannot be used. It comes at a time when BC Hydro's own reservoirs are full. Now, by way of explanation, you can't store electricity, but what you can do is store the water by which you make the electricity. The independent power producers have very little, if any, storage. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that they boast, that they don't have any reservoirs and so on and so forth. So that means that, except in some cases where rivers run fairly strongly all year round, the vast majority of the power that they produce can't possibly go to help people like you and me and industries and so on. What this is going to mean at the end of the day is we're going to be on the international power price. We're going to pay what's paid in California and everywhere else. This means that all of us as individuals are going to have our power bills go up. I've heard 3 or 4 times seems to be the speculation. And we'll also, of course, get the cost pass-through from the industry, which is going to get nailed, and businesses. So the people of British Columbia have better gird up their loins and recognize that there's going to be a very, very substantial increase in price.
You mentioned earlier that this whole concept of run of the rivers hasn't been explained properly in the media, and this goes back to how the media is covering this campaign. When we look at the issue of the environment, Gordon Campbell seems to be portrayed as sort of the green premier, and that's not your contention at all, is it?
No, it isn't. And I go to another subject just for a moment, Joe, of the fish farms. And now that's one you would have thought that the media would have been able to cover because many scientific reports kept coming through. And as they came through, Mr. Campbell kept on increasingly the licenses or the capacity of giving out new ones. Now, there's one that he just simply has not had his feet held to the fire. And that's wrong. And I hate to go back to former days, but I can tell you when I was in the legislature back in the 70s, we had 8 or 9 or 10 of the best journalists in the world covering our every move, print and electronic. And that simply hasn't happened. And I think that shows in the fact that Mr. Campbell's able to get away with some of the most atrocious things. As I said earlier, he makes it an equation that we need power, and therefore we get it from private sources. And, of course, that simply isn't an equation, I told you, because we can't get it from the private sources. Moreover, I can tell you, if you care, that we don't need power, and I can tell you why.
Why is that?
Well, the fact of the matter is that BC Hydro figures will show that they are net importers of power over the last 10 or 11 years. That's BC Hydro's. But the overall figures, which are the ones for British Columbia, which include the power that Alcan delivers, which includes Teck Cominco, includes Fortis. The overall production of electricity in British Columbia has made us a net exporter for 8 of the last 11 years. That, according to the National Energy Board, which is the federal agency which governs the export of our energy. So we simply don't need the energy. Now, sooner or later, as the population expands, of course we're going to have to expand our energy. We have 4 things that we can do, and we can therefore take care of our energy into the far ways you care to look. First of all, conservation. I think everybody agrees on that. We're probably the most wasteful society in the world right here on the questions of conservation. Secondly, we can upgrade our present facilities, which BC Hydro wants to do but won't have the money to do, in my view. We could put new generators into the, on dams which haven't got them at this point. Duncan Dam is one that's just it's a flood control dam. We could put generators on there. And the last thing, which is as simple as pie to understand, is at least 10% of all of our future needs can be met by taking our power back under the Columbia River Treaty. People may not recall, but back in the 60s when that deal was made, British Columbia shipped electricity to the United States and got paid for it, or we got money in lieu. We've been taking the money. If we take the power instead of the money, along with the other things I've mentioned, there's just no need to worry about power concerns from now into the distant future.
Do you think, Carol James, and the NDP, that this issue of the environment has run away from them? I mean, we have David Suzuki coming out against him. This morning, the conservation voters of BC have not endorsed her, have endorsed, I guess, the other candidate in her riding. Has the issue gone away from them? Has it run away from them?
I think there's been a very unfortunate breach in the environmental movement. And I rashly called Dr. David Suzuki a pseudo-environmentalist last night, but it was in a fit of some passion at a meeting where there was a lot of that around. What I think David has done is he's backed away from his environmental principles. I don't know why. He's calling for what seems to me to be a continued use of our rivers for power and to hell with the animals and so on and so forth. And I think that group, Zipporah Berman and so on, have taken away some of the sting of the environmental people that are those who normally are considered to be environmentalists. And I think it's too bad because they clearly don't understand the overall picture. And I think that, I think frankly, they're not going to be much of a player in the election, not nearly as much as they think they will be.
And there are a couple of other issues that you think are critical in this campaign, and we read this in your TIE column, that the economy, that's the along with the environment, that's probably the most important issue, isn't it?
Yes, no question about that. And, I think that the argument about cap and trade and gas taxes, carbon taxes, and that sort of thing are very difficult to put into perspective at this point, and I must admit I have some trouble with it, too. But from the practical point of view, you will note that when the carbon tax went on gasoline, it scarcely stopped people from driving. My God, when gasoline was $1.50 a liter a few months ago, people still kept right on driving. So it may raise money, but obviously it doesn't take away the desire of people to use their automobiles. So I think that's now being used as a political football, and I think it's sad that it isn't. Which gets me back to a point, Joe, that I'd like to have made right from the beginning. The evil, if I may use that word, of this government's approach has been to bring in an energy policy without putting out a white paper, without getting discussions from people, experts, and so on, without having a public debate. It was just sort of snuck in there. All of a sudden, it was there. And I think that's too bad, because obviously these issues need a good, hard, soul-searching and research on a nonpartisan basis, and unfortunately that's not happening, nor is it likely to happen.
And this perception of Gordon Campbell, you wrote about that in your column. I have an idea of what you think of the man. Well, what do you think British Columbians think of him as?
Well, it's very hard for me to answer that, Joe. I wish I was able to answer that sort of a question. It's hard to say, you know. He certainly has painted himself as being highly efficient and sort of business-oriented, the man who will bring the economy back and so on, and maybe that will appeal to people. I don't know. I sense that a lot of the people that are looking at this will sense from Mr. Campbell a hubris and arrogance that really is comes through very loud and clear, and is probably not going to be too popular.
STV, you're supporting that, like you did the last time around and for many years before that. Did you think it'll pass this time?
I can't say will or not. I sense that it may have a very good chance, simply because people are tired of the present system. You know, the opposition to this, Joe, comes down really on two points, I think, anyway. I think, first of all, they say it's too complicated to count the votes. Well, you know, it isn't easy. It's not just like you count the checks for one person or across for one person. However, I've examined it, and I think it's abundantly fair. It gives everybody a chance to express their views entirely. Everybody's vote is going to count somewhere down the line. The other one, the thing that they're concerned about, is having multi-riding, multi-member ridings, particularly in the north and in places where there's a lot of territory per person. And that one I find a little bit dishonest. For this reason, I represented a large riding when I was in the legislature. Others represented large ridings all by themselves. And what you do is you put in two or three offices around, and you service people's concerns by going to those offices. And there will be no different under this system. You don't service the bears and the wolves and the dicky birds. You service people. And people in remote places expect that they're not going to have their MLAs sitting at the local bistro having coffee with them every day. That's been going on forever. And I think that that's kind of a false argument. I think that this is not necessarily the very best way to go, but it's an awful lot better than the one we have. And we are in the habit sometimes of making the best the enemy of better. And we can't are perfect better than just better. And I think that it should go through, and if it did, I think it would have an enormous and very positive effect on the way we govern ourselves.
Even before the start of this campaign, you were traveling the province giving speeches for Save Our Rivers. You're still doing that on the campaign as well,
Jim? Oh, yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, I think last night was my 17th appearance this month.
And then you've been enjoying it, have you?
Yeah, I have. Well, I've got to tell you, honestly, every once in a while I feel my years, you know, and you've got to get the impression that sort of, if this is Tuesday, it must be Prince George. But no, I find myself exhilarated by it, and I'm enjoying it, and it's a cause that I'm very, very concerned about.
And the reaction from the people that you've talked to is quite favorable, is it?
It has been, but in fairness, a lot of the times you're just preaching to the converted, you know. You're going around town, and people that don't want to hear you don't come. So it's hard to know what the overall impression is. But I think it is having an impact. We're even getting some press in the local press. Now, I've got to tell you, if the press is the David Black press, I'm not going to get anything anyway. It don't seem to. And I don't think in the terms of many papers that they covered as fully as they might, but there are some very, very good exceptions to that rule, particularly on Vancouver Island and up in the Kootenays.
And I've heard you say this elsewhere, that this is, you think, the most important election?
There's no question about that, Joe. I've been around a few years now, and it, to me it is. We are either going to have a British Columbia where slowly but very, very surely we get rid of our environmental assets that we have, or we're going to have one that says, no, we're not going to become the supplier of electricity to the western half of the United States. We're going to look after our own, we're going to look after our environment, we're going to look after our money and so on. And I think it's B.C., if Campbell is reelected, will be a very, very different place than it is now. And in my view, it'll be a place that's not nearly as good as it is now.
Rafe, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
Joe, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. The website for more is rafeonline.com, and saveourrivers.ca is that organization's website. Rafe Mayer on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.